Hello and welcome to Anatomy of Us. I'm your host, Melanie Studley.
What's up, my friends? My name is Seth Studley. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Today, we're talking about hidden foo. I'm not talking about Bruce Lee or Kung Fu, so stay tuned. Let's go.
All right, hidden foo. What the foo is that?
What the foo is that? Foo, as you'll know, so we're celebrating Foovember. Right, we're going to talk about family of origin themed topics, how it, what implications it has, and how we show up in our marriage, and how it shows up in the holidays. Right, there's all kinds of stress going on: Thanksgiving, in-laws, Christmas, this or whatever. It could be Kwanzaa or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate, right? Or nothing, whatever you celebrate, right? But this is a time where families do tend to get together more often than not. And there's stress involved in that. So family of origin. I wish I had the definition. But basically, it is the family, the ecosystem that you come from in your formative years. Basically, 0 to 18. It could be biological parents. It could be grandparents. It could be adopted parents. It could be aunts and uncles or whoever. Or it could be, you know, if you're Mowgli, it could be a group of wild wolves that you grew up with. So... kind of like our daughter. Her nickname is also Mowgli, and we're not wolves, but she thinks she is. So let's talk about the hidden ways that family of origin comes up, not only just in your regular life, but in the holidays.
Right. Well, and I wanted to have this be our topic this week because as we do coaching, right, we do marriage coaching and relationship coaching, and family of origin is hidden in so many things. Everywhere. It's literally just everywhere, everything, all the time. So some of the ways that family of origin is hidden in our lives is that it's embedded in the way we think.
Right.
Right. So let's just talk about that. Let's kind of cover biopsychosocial, spiritual, family of origin, hidden nugget gems. But first I have to ask you to, could you please energize up slightly?
Me?
Yes.
I was thinking the same thing.
You're pissy.
You need to energize
You've
up.
You've been pissy since our client call because he thinks I'm a bully. So energize up slightly, please.
How's
Thank
that?
Thank you.
That's something family of origin right there. So my mom will get the juice and start laughing. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
She'll get the juice. She'll start feeling all jazzy. And then she'll, she hasn't done it lately, but I can just, you know, something tickles her, right? We start laughing. And then she goes, remember like the several times she goes, ah.
Oh, yeah.
It she just gets crazy, like,
crazy
and starts
laugh,
juicing up.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Or
so
when she's driving and she pretends to peel out.
Oh,
yeah, she'll turn a corner and make that sound. That's hilarious. Yeah. That is very much family of origin.
That is. So that's
my family would never do that.
No, your family would never do that. And probably the first couple times I did it, you thought, okay, what's going on here?
This
You're just like lost your mind, right?
Right.
But yes.
The first thing I was saying, like, is family of origin is hidden inside of how we think, right? So it's not just like how we do Christmas or Thanksgiving or what you expect on a birthday or whatever. It's hidden inside the way that you think about the entire world. It's like we mentioned, what's his name? Parrott. Less than Leslie Parrott. Talk about family of origin being the university of relationships, where you learn everything, right?
It,
you learn.
It shapes your worldview.
Right. So even something as crazy, again, this goes to how we think, the hidden family of origin. So something as crazy as what you think about other races, what you think about politics, like our young teenagers, well, Tuff's not even a teenager, is he? He's only 12. He talks about kids at school talking about politics. Those kids have no idea what the bleep they're talking about, but it's a family of origin insertion of thinking that they are mirroring, right? So it's things like that even. It's who are we nice to? Who are we mean to?
Right.
What is clean? What is dirty? How, you know, it's
what
all
do, what
sorts
do we
of
value time-wise, money-wise, spiritual-wise? What, I mean, oftentimes, what religion do we end up?
What
I went to church. I went to a synagogue. I didn't. I did this. I went to a mosque. That usually is what you do, right? With family of origin. So here's a little story, just highlights. And then you've heard it before. And I said it, I think, at our Chicago event a long time ago. But there was a grandmother, a mother, and a daughter, right? And it was around Christmas time. I think it was Thanksgiving or something like that. And they, you know, all the moms and stuff, all the women, females, were in the kitchen doing stuff, you know, cooking and
the females,
you know, making
of the species.
The little understood female species that we've seen in the wild before, but we don't yet know what to do with them or how to harness their
show
power.
Show you what to do with them.
But they are dangerous. Trust me, that they are very dangerous.
Tell the story.
Anyway, the women are in the kitchen cooking. And, oh man, I just got tickled. Anyway, the story is the women are in the kitchen cooking and the little daughter, she's like 6, 7, 8 years old. She's like, hey mom, why do you cut off the ends of the roast before you put it in the thing? And the mom goes, well, honey, that's just how we do it. That's how we prepare the roast. You put the onions and the rosemary and the spices and the potatoes and this, and you cut the ends off the roast and you put it in the thing. And, you know, little girl was like, oh, okay. You didn't question it, right? Because when you're little, you're like, oh, mom said, dad said, that's how it is, right? What are we doing?
Using your microphone correctly. You're microphoning your chin. You're going like this. I'm listening. The roast.
You're so critical. Anyway, the daughter just goes, okay, yep, that's how we do it. And then the mom got to thinking about it and was like, why do we do that? What's the deal? And so she asked the grandma, hey, mom, the grandma, why do we cut the ends off the roast? And she's like, ah, she was thinking about it. She's like, I don't know. That's just always what we done. And then later at dinner, the grandma says, wait a minute. I know why we cut the ends off the roast. I asked my grandma a long time ago, and it was because they were dirt poor, and their pans and their oven were too small to fit a whole roast. So just think about that. Mm-hmm. One thing that got passed down from generation to generation that doesn't make any, well, it made sense at the time.
Then, yeah.
But now our oven is huge, or we have pans, or whatever the thing. But just think about it. So if we learn things by that way that were done out of necessity 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, and we're still doing them, makes me think, hey, what did I bring into my family of origin that made sense a long time ago,
right,
but doesn't make sense for us in mm-hmm. the
current,
our current family of origin, mm-hmm. right? So that's just a little story that illustrates the power of learning a lesson once or hearing something once and then just going and going and going and going generationally down.
Right.
So that is one of the things about family of origin.
It's interesting too. There's a family of origin thing that just happened right this very second. If you noticed, Seth, if you're watching this, Seth was microphoning his neck. He was basically holding his microphone like this, talking with it literally touching his chin. Did you know you were doing that?
It's a strategy.
Did you know you were doing it?
No.
So I was simply saying, please talk like that, because
uh-huh.
Can you hear the difference?
Yes.
And you said what?
I said, thank you. I love you.
You said, you're so...
I said, you're so critical.
Critical.
Right.
So in my family, that's not critical. That's, mm-hmm. oh, I'm doing it wrong. Thank you. Now I know. Ah. But in your family, like, you're telling me every single thing I've ever thought and done is not right. You're a critical B word.
Mm-hmm.
So family of origin.
Family of origin.
So foo you
foo
right
you.
Now.
Uh-oh, you're mad now.
Well, it's a little frustrating to try to help you
mm-hmm.
audio engineeringly and have you call me critical. But
I was just kidding, by the way.
No, you were not. That's okay, though. So, but I think
back
that
to the family.
If we think of it like thinking, so biopsychosocial spiritual, right? So even something like what we eat mm-hmm. is family of origin driven. So of course, whatever home you grew up in, the food that you ate is almost like a part of your ecosystem and your mindset,
mm-hmm.
right? So like in our family, we drank Diet Coke and ate Twinkies. Like my dad would eat those gross pies in those, you know, like the...
A Hot Pocket?
No, the pies.
Oh, a Marie Callender pie.
I don't think that it was that.
You don't talk
here.
About
it? I do, but I don't think that's... It was like in a bag, those nasty... They still sell them.
Oh, you mean an apple pie that you get at the corner
Yeah, they're
store.
Like in a bag.
Right.
And there's more than apple.
Yeah, there's apple, there's cherry, there's grape.
Those give me, like, thinking of them gives me a stomachache.
I used to eat those as kids.
Yeah. Right. And so my dad ate them as an adult all the time.
Your dad has a sweet tooth.
He has a gas station tooth, I think. Get the jerky out of the grab it
oh,
with
your
hand.
A jerky disc.
A jerky disc. I love powdered,
The jerky dip.
The jerky dip. It was my fave. But anyway, so the stuff like that, like the mm-hmm. those things are influenced by the house and the home and the people that you grew up mm-hmm. with, but they are crap we fight about as married couples.
Okay, so think about it this way. This brings up a really good illustration. So I grew up out in the country. My first job was like at 13 and 14 years old, pumping gas at a full service gas station, right? Run out, pump the gas, take the money, go back and get a tip. I ran the cash register, and this was a country store, so I met all kinds of crazy people, which was really awesome. It was like an education for me, kind of growing up, right? And right across the street was another gas station. It's called Kathy's, right? Kathy's Grocery. And she didn't sell gas, But she sold other stuff and hot dogs. Just hot dogs, where you like boiled hot dogs on white bread with the relish and the thing. And we would love going down there.
Get you a Kathy's hot dog.
Getting a Kathy's hot dog, put the chili on it, which was basically just like brown liquid. More like gravy, not chili. But no, it wasn't gross. It was so good. It's like, oh, let's go get lunch. Let's go get a hot dog and a bag of chips and a glass bottle of Coke, right? Mm-hmm. So like the pinnacle of
Southern.
Unhealthy and Southern. But there were a lot of good memories. Right. Like me and my buddies, we would literally ride bikes down to Kathy's, get a hot dog. They were 50 cents each.
Kathy's. You know, that's such a funny name.
Go to Kathy's, get a 50 cent Coke and a 50 cent bag of chips, have a full lunch for less than $2, right? And those memories and all that stuff is like, oh, yeah, that's what we do. Hey, kids, for lunch, we're having boiled hot dogs and gravy chili and a pack of chips. And you may be like, what
I'm
is
gonna,
this?
I'm going to guffaw.
And that would be the most normal thing for me.
Right.
Right. Because, oh, you're a kid, you ride your bike, you do this, it's super special. Like a jerky disc is to you. Right.
And,
like,
and big
that's
league
gross.
Chew.
Big league chew.
And a Charleston and, chew.
And all this stuff. Not only family of origin, but the people that our parents knew that we would see the adults of down at the store, mm-hmm. and how those people influenced our lives, mm-hmm. good or bad kind of thing.
Right.
We bring that into our family of origin right now.
Well, and think about even that the relationships that your parents had within your family of origin set the tone for what you believe relationships should be, right?
Let's stick on that for a minute.
That's why I brought it up.
That's a good
one. So in my family of origin, we had some neighborhood friends, but not that would like come over a bunch, mm-hmm. meaning the parents. My parents didn't have friends over a lot that I can recall. Now I could be remembering it incorrectly, but I don't think I am. My parents are hermits. But they slowly had less friends over time that would come over and do anything. And so like it's literally, you could go an entire year without a non-relative stepping mm-hmm. inside of your house, and then on Thanksgiving or Christmas, mm-hmm. someone might come over for 20 minutes or something.
Right.
But usually in my family of origin, it's all relatives always only. Mm-hmm. And in Seth's family of origin, I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. What's your grandma's neighbor's name? I can't think of it. Richard? Roger.
Roger, right.
Roger will just come over. Like he'll see people in the swimming pool mm-hmm. and walk over. So we're all swimming.
Of course you do.
And I remember the first time it happened, being like, oh my, what is this person doing over here? And your whole family's like, hey, Roger, you know? And I'm just like, I should be going inside and changing into clothes. This seems inappropriate. But he comes over all the time.
That's so funny because it's like, oh, somebody that I don't know is invading my space.
Yeah.
That's what you and your family think about
everything, yeah.
But what are they doing?
Living.
Are they like
in proximity?
Are they like trying to sneak on you or spy on you or like get your wallet that's under your towel?
Not Roger,
or something.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Or just be a weirdo? No, it's like, and that's how I grew up. Your neighbors
just pop over.
Hey, oh, who's in the drive? Oh,
Brent Smith's here.
Oh, that's so and so. Oh, hey, you know. Then you go out to meet him, or they
You're
come
supposed
on
to
in.
Say the real name.
Oh, sorry.
Jimmy Grubbs is here.
Or whoever,
I haven't even met him. I've heard his name so many
One
times.
One of my best friends a long time ago.
But it's that idea that these are things that we used to fight about because it would be like Seth would want people to come over and I would be weird about it. Or if people were over or just stopped by, like my set point for that, for tolerating that is zero because I have zero experience.
Right.
Seth's set point is Southern back porch
it was a thousand.
Life.
What happened yesterday? So...
Oh.
I made homemade biscuits, which is
this
what
is
I do.
A hilarious story just in general.
Right? So homemade scratch biscuits yesterday. Kids asked for them. I made them. Okay? I can't eat them because I'm doing 75 hard. Almost done.
Right. Let me tell it from my perspective first because I saw it first. So this is being recorded right after Halloween. So yesterday was Halloween when we were recording this. And I woke up late, which almost never happens, which was so pleasant. Mm-hmm. And as I'm walking down the stairs, like I literally just wake up, no makeup on, in my J's, 100%. And Seth had sent the kids up because he had made biscuits and I could smell bacon. And so they were inviting me down for breakfast. And as I'm walking down the stairs, I see my best friend, Pamela, walk up my deck, like the front porch. And I could see, and she was... She was wearing a purple crayon costume at like 9:30 in the morning, which is even funnier.
Why not?
So she comes up the thing, and my immediate thought was, what do you think my immediate thought was?
Seth will be mad.
No. Try again.
I'm mad.
Nope. Last try.
You're mad.
No. My immediate thought was, she didn't call me.
Oh, really?
My immediate thought was, she was supposed to call. Like, if she's coming over, she should have called.
Oh.
I wasn't mad. I was actually really happy to see her, but I was like, she didn't call me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first thought. And so then I opened the door, and she brought over pickles. This story sounds so weird. She's in a crayon costume, bringing over pickles in a Victoria's Secret bag, which was very funny, because our friend is moving, and right. She had extra pickles.
Right.
So she brought over these pickles right as you finished making breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so Seth literally was like, come and eat breakfast with us in your crayon costume. And mm-hmm. so she did. Like, our Halloween breakfast had an extra guest in a crayon suit.
Right.
And it was super, super fun. But like, in my family, that would have never, I've never eaten a meal with a pop-in guest in my family of origin ever.
If that would have happened, would people have been mad about it later?
No, I don't think so. They would have just said it was weird or goofy or whatever. But not even in a bad way. It's just that they would have commented on it, almost like I was talking about this morning with our client. Made a comment that sounds really negative, but the reality wasn't negative, really.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's just a really good example of, like, in the past, these are things we would have fought over. Like, why didn't you tell me? What? You didn't ask if she could come in. Are you blah, blah? You didn't think about my feelings, right?
No, I wouldn't have said that. Me.
Right. I would have said
right.
that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So these things have implications, right? And think about it this way. Rarely do I say, okay, let's think about an argument that you've had in the past, like something bad, right? I'm mainly forward focused.
Think about expands what?
Yeah, what we think about expands, right? Well, I can't even talk. Jeez. What we focus on grows, right? And so
we get more of what we think about.
That's right. We attract it, right? So in this case, I'm going to say, all right, think about maybe last holiday season or maybe the one before that, because COVID has kind of COVID has messed stuff up, right? So let's think about pre-COVID. Think about an argument that you had, whether you were at your in-laws or his in-laws or whoever's, right? And was it an argument about family of origin?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
if it was, then I want you to think about it and go, man, okay, was I being crazy? Was he being weird? Was she being weird on that? And what could I have let go and embraced that would have made a different evening?
The
right?
lion.
Embrace the lion, right? Hashtag. Could you ever? Anyway, think about it that way. And now do things differently so you don't repeat that.
Right. And I like the idea of going back in time and thinking of like arguments that you've had and saying, if I overlaid a family of origin filter on this, would I see it more clearly?
Yes, you
right?
would.
Right. So again, like biopsycho, so like how we think, mm-hmm. how we live. So bio, like, you know, if your friends come over while you're swimming, it's fine. They're not going to try to murder you. Kind
right.
of vibes. Spiritual, you know, church is a big one. I grew up in this is a very funny difference, actually, now that I'm thinking of it. I grew up Catholic. I don't think any of us really, like, cared about Catholicism, but mm-hmm. we grew up going to two different churches. One's with St. Joseph's in Issaquah. And then the other one, which is just funny to think about, like Catholic, like choir robes and boring,
Mass.
Right? Mass. And then, and no offense if you love Catholicism, I'm not trying to knock it. It's just kind of a funny experience. But then the other church we would go to as I got older was St. James Cathedral in Seattle, where I sang in the youth
right.
choir and all this.
And that's the
big,
large,
it's a big
Catholic
cathedral.
Church in the downtown sector of Seattle, right? It's like the big one. It's huge. It's crazy.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
But that's my church experience. Catholic, it's boring. They read the same thing. It's like on a calendar what they're going to read.
Peace be with you.
And also with you. There's candles and weird outfits, right? And it's boring. I'm going to reiterate that it is boring. When we were kids, we would like draw on all the papers and sit in the pews and like mm-hmm. put gum under the thing and just like fight in the pews. Seth's family attends Praise Cathedral.
You want me to say it?
Go ahead.
You
are a friend of God. That's what I know. He calls me. I am a friend of God.
So I grew up charismatic Church of God, right? And
loving life.
Speaking in tongues.
10 speed, running down
right,
the aisle.
Right, right. All kinds of stuff.
Saying like this.
And a lot of my friends did too, right? Like the friends I was in the band with, a lot of those guys, I could say, hey, you ever seen somebody fall out in church? Are you ever seen somebody run the top of the pews in church? You ever
seen the top of the pews?
It gets crazy.
The tops?
Yeah.
Who?
I always wanted to do that just to see if I could.
And that's actually how moshing started. Not moshing, stage diving.
Stage diving, yeah.
It was really it started from a praise cathedral.
Yeah. You know, and then like, you know, singing the same song just over and over because the spirit hit you and all this stuff.
And then what's the piano player? Bobby?
Right, right.
He starts, organ strikes.
Yeah. And
the
then
saxophone player goes.
The music hits, you know what I'm saying? So it was very, 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 very different from how Melanie grew up. So
from Ave Maria.
Right, from Ave Maria to, what is it? call him up,
Jesus, tell him what you want.
Jesus on the Main Line, that's the name of the song. But anyway, that's how I grew
up. Tell him what you need.
No, tell him what you want.
Tell him what you want. Sorry, yeah. I didn't grow up with that.
And so that there's a difference there. So that's going to have implications on how we celebrate Christmas or other holidays kind of things,
or like
or,
the
or Halloween
like what
or
we
whatever.
Think church is like on a Sunday. Like mm-hmm. we didn't know. We went to St. James a few times and, you know, we didn't know. And so these mm-hmm. things.
Well, eventually we settled on our own, which was a different church, which we don't even go to anymore.
Right. It doesn't exist
but
anymore.
It was very different from Church of God and or Catholicism vibes.
But
going
if
on.
You took like some of our conversations then and just went, oh, hey, you guys, this is family of origin. This is not a, like, there isn't a right or a wrong. It's a different.
Right.
Like, it's just different, right? My experience is this. And so in my brain, that's like the, like, if you think of like a, your life as a fill in, like a coloring book, mm-hmm. A big portion of my outline is Catholicism, mm-hmm. You know, family of five, Native American, mm-hmm. even though I don't look like it, all of that stuff is a part of my outline. But then we need to fill it in, you and I, with the rest of the colors of us.
Let's do an exercise here. And I think, and so you guys think about this for your own family, for you and your spouse. So my version of, I'll just use Christmas as an example. My version of Christmas.
Christmas in the Northwest.
Nope, not that. Christmas in the Southeast is what mine was, right? So, okay, let's just start in December.
Yep.
All right. We start thinking about setting up a tree. We always had a real tree. No fake bullshit trees.
Yeah.
Stupid ass bullshit
keep
fake
on
trees.
Talking, keep on talking.
Obviously, I have feelings around that. I just wanted to cuss around that too.
Yeah, good. You did.
There were tons of presents. Tons of presents. I remember like my grandma just, there were tons of presents.
Did you see my face fall just now when you said that? My face literally fell. I could feel it.
I know. Was that surprising to you?
Yes.
Tons of presents.
It's not surprising. It's not.
So, anyway, my story. Real Christmas tree, tons of presents, yes. Stockings on the fireplace kind of thing. Sometimes, rarely, we would have a Christmas party at our house, like my mom and dad and like all the horse friends and stuff would come over, which is kind of fun.
Centaurs.
Yes, centaurs and other mythical
all
beasts.
All the centaurs would come over.
No, and then my grandma would have a party too. And that was always fun because there she would make all kinds of
she
snacks.
She would go all the way out.
She would show up and
she would
show out. Show up and showing out.
She's in her British way.
Right. So that's what we would do with them, right? And then, okay, go, Christmas. We'd do some, you know, maybe school Christmas parties or stuff like that. And then open a present on Christmas Eve. Right? Open one present and then wake up early, open presents on Christmas morning, mm-hmm. and then usually go over to grandma's for a big Christmas dinner, right? And on Christmas Day, our neighbors would just come over and like, oh, what'd you get? Hey, how's it going? Mm. Kind of thing. So it was a very festive thing. I would call all my friends and be like, hey, what'd you get, man? What's going on? Then when we could drive, I would go and visit them and we'd like exchange gifts with neighbors and stuff like that too. So it was like a big thing that just wasn't our direct family kind of thing. So that was my version of Christmas, right? And I think this is important for couples to have because like, what? I mean, even in this conversation, your face dropped, I don't know, were you disappointed that I got a bunch of presents or something?
No.
It was information to you, right? That you didn't know after 17 years of marriage, 18 of like even being together, right? So what was your version of Christmas starting December 1st? Up till Christmas?
I don't know. Like mom puts decorations up. We do decorations at some point. And then we would get a lot of presents, but it wasn't like we would only get presents from our parents. Like we didn't, necessarily get presents from my grandparents in the same way that you would.
Is that why
your
face dropped? Does that hurt your feelings?
No. It's more, it actually gave me a lot of clarity around things that we have fought about in the past. Mostly why you think I don't do anything. Like, that actually really gives me a ton of clarity, because I think in the past, what was the pinnacle level of me experiencing or recreating my family of origin Christmas, mm-hmm. right? Which is basically like yours, but just muted, just right. less, right? Like, I've never had a friend call me on Christmas.
Inferior, you mean?
I've never, oh goodness. We didn't really have neighbors stop in on Christmas. So that's really different. But it helps me see that even my best version of Christmas to you is like the worst, version of your Christmas, like the least you could do, right?
Right.
So even my pinnacle of Christmas experience is not even touching the lowest bar of your mm-hmm. standard Christmas experience. So that is giving me insight, because you would complain about basically everything always, that it was never enough. Like, it was never enough. It was never enough words. It was never enough gifts. It was never the right gift. It was never, right. I never think enough about you. I never do. It's always that. It's always that same. My like butt's on fire now. The
what
heater,
are you?
The heater's like super hot. But that is really insightful for me, because it is clarifying. It's almost like my family has muted everything down, like turned the volume down by a jillion, and your family is the complete opposite. So even you just saying, like, we got like a ton of presents.
Well, it's not even turned up. It was never like
Compared to mine, it was never up here.
You never go, okay, we're muting this. And then like my family never decided to like turn up the volume and like.
No, I know. But compared to each other is what kind of what I'm getting at. It's like ours is like muted and yours is like hyper sonic or whatever. And that says a lot about our entire relationship, not just Christmas. Again, this is like the hidden family of origin stuff. Like it's woven into everything, that my peak is the lowest on your meter, right? Like I'm revving at 1,000 on mine, but on your engine, it's like 1.
Barely warm.
It's barely warm. And that makes a big conflict overlapping a ton of different things in our marriage. So, if this feels like it applies to your marriage, we encourage you to dive deeper and ask the questions like, is this thing that we've been fighting about really just family of origin and not you're dumb and I'm smart and you're dumb or whatever.
Right.
Right.
I want listeners to do that exercise that I literally designed off the fly. Hey, what was your Christmas experience?
Not on the fly, off of the fly.
Well, you don't want to be on a fly. They're gross.
And fly was buzzing and he designed it off of the fly.
Off the fly. Right. And from December 1 to December 26th, growing up, young years, teenage years, what was the norm for you guys? Well, I don't know. Dad got drunk and then every Christmas was a shit show. So I don't know. That's what I'm used to.
Right.
Right. Because you're going to do that or be like, yeah, Christmas is not fun at all kind of thing. I found, I can go into that later, but I want you guys to do that exercise because even in real time, Melanie learned about something.
Yeah. Just now.
That has implications for how we celebrate holidays and also how we do other stuff.
Everything,
in our life.
Right.
Right. So you guys, again, this show is brought to you by betterhelp.com/us. Christmas is coming. The goose is getting fat.
Oh gosh. So go to betterhelp.com/us to get the help that you need and find a therapist that you need. And if you have any questions, send them in to hello@anatomyofmarriage.com. And if you can rate and review our show on iTunes, that would be awesome. And we would love you for it.
iTunes.
Anyway, have a great rest of your day.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you later. Goodbye.
Goodbye.